Ladies and gentlemen, good afternoon. Welcome, dear shareholders, dear friends. I am pleased to welcome you to this new combined general meeting of the AXA company in the presence of Thomas Buberl, Chief Executive, Jean-Martin Delfort, Senior Independent Director and Chairman of the Compensation and Governance Committee, Gérard Ardin, Deputy CEO and CFO for the group, George Stansfield, Deputy CEO and Secretary General of the group, and Jacques de Peretti, Member of the Management Committee and Chief Executive of AXA France. I wish to thank you for your presence. I would also like to welcome the presence in the first rows, members of the board, whom I would like to thank for their commitment and active contribution to the work of our board. As there are people here who are not shareholders, our general meeting is deemed, therefore, to be a public meeting, as well as the whole of this company, and will be broadcast on our axa.com website. I remind you that this meeting aims to be friendly, congenial, and rich in information. We will now proceed with the formalities that precede the opening of our session and appoint the registration committee. This general meeting is convened today on first notice. It was convened pursuant to the legal provisions to a notice of meeting published February 22, 2019, in the French Mandatory Legal Announcements Bulletin, and through a call to convene published in the same bulletin on March 20, 2019, as well as in the Journal d'annonce légale, Les Petites Affiches of March 20, 2019. I've just been informed that the meeting can be held validly in its ordinary and extraordinary form. There are present over 13,000 shareholders representing 1,420,000,000 shares and 1 billion and more shares representing 59.67% of the total of shares and 63.45% of the existing voting rights. I will let you know the final quorum before the vote on the resolutions, after all the shares of the shareholders present or represented have been accounted for. I hereby call the meeting to order and will now appoint the general committee. I invite, as poll scrutineers, if they're willing to accept, the two shareholders present who own for themselves or as proxies hold the largest number of votes. They are from the AXA Assurantia Mutuelle, Monsieur François Martineau, director of that company, and of the AXA Assurance Vie Mutuelle, represented by Mr. Olivier Richer, director of this company. I thank them for agreeing and suggest to them that they appoint as secretary of this meeting Mr. Gérard Ardin. The statutory auditors who were convened pursuant to the law by registered letter are present. They are Mr. Xavier Crépon, representing PricewaterhouseCoopers Audit, and Mr. Jean-Claude Poli, who represents Cabinet Mazars. Finally, I hold available all the legal documents. By the way, the shareholders who made the request received the documents or were able to be informed on the website of the company. We are meeting today in a combined general meeting so that you approve 11 ordinary resolutions and 15 extraordinary resolutions. I wish to request from the general meeting not to fully read the agenda of this meeting and to read the simplified agenda displayed on the screen behind me. I also request permission not to read the board's report included in the 2018 annual report of AXA, called also reference document. This report was made available at the company's registered office, was sent to you upon request, and is available at the entrance of this room as well. This will allow for more time for the presentations and, above all, for answering your questions. As in previous AGMs, we will use electronic voting. Its modalities will be explained before the vote on resolutions. Good afternoon to all of you, dear shareholders. I'm extremely happy to be once again in front of you for your general meeting. 2017 was a year of structural choices. 2018 was the year that saw action and decisions. You saw many decisions which were implemented, the creation of AXA XL, the listing of our life business in the U.S., the 100% capital increase in AXA Tianping company, and certainly the rollout of innovative offers. 2018 was a year of transformation, but at the same time, a year for good operating results. It was 2017 where we made structural changes. The first choice was the organization. How it can be far simpler, how could we be much closer to our clients, and how can we give far more autonomy to our local entities, which are the closest to the needs of our clients. On the other hand, we agreed and decided on the strategic axis. The first axis or priority was to transform the risk profile of the AXA Group. Second decision, to focus on key markets. There are three of them: health, protection, commercial P&C insurance, and third decision, continue and implement innovation. 2018 turned out to be the year where we put many things into play in order to build a new AXA. What does it entail to build a new AXA? First of all, it involves investing in specific targeted markets. Our strategic choice was, how could we get closer to our clients? How are we more in contact with them in order to really better consider and fulfill their needs? The first choice was clearly around the acquisition of the AXA Catlin company. The combination between AXA and XL created the number one worldwide in P&C risks. The other major investment in order to strengthen our presence in these specific markets was to invest in China. Ramp up to 100% our shares in the AXA Tianping, which turns us into the first foreign insurer in regard to P&C in China. Building a new AXA involves also growing in innovation in new services for clients. We can see today that the payment of claims is not enough. Our clients want us to support them to have a better life. Supporting involves first the health aspect. We are all facing the hardships in terms of medical care, and AXA launched several years ago a telemedicine service, and today we are the largest in the telemedicine business based on two activities. On the one hand, AXA Assistance, and on the other hand, our business in the care startup that we put together. The second priority or axis is about mobility. We can see that the strong need today of ensuring the path of people. Up until now, we have insured more than 1 billion so-called path or itinerary. Thirdly, the partnership of a modern bank insurance with ING across Europe is certainly another innovation pillar where we are reinventing together with ING the combination between a bank and an insurance company. All of this was made possible because we created an innovation-related entity, which is called AXANET. It's on a standalone basis, and it developed such innovations. Right now, we're at a moment when we need to launch them into every entity in France and elsewhere. Guillaume Borie, the Chief Executive of AXANET, will present to you in a few minutes what we did in regard to innovation and what are we planning for the next steps. Building a new AXA in 2018 was also about how could we desensitize AXA to financial risks. We took three major decisions in order to cut down our sensitivity to financial risks, and it started really around the financial crisis in 2008. We made the decision at the time of reducing our exposure to financial risks, and it just gained momentum in the past 2 years with three basic decisions. First of all, the listing our U.S. business in life and savings, and this took place last May. And you saw recently that we reduced our stake below 50%. A second key decision was made, namely restructuring and transforming a collective life insurance in Switzerland and move from a guaranteed rate to something which is more similar to asset management. The third major decision was to sell our variable annuities business in Europe in the AXA Life in Ireland. 2018 turned out to be for us a return to growth driven by the three target segments: health, protection, and commercial P&C insurance. Our growth was at 4%, which leads us to revenues of $103 billion. Such growth was truly driven by a 5% rise in commercial P&C insurance and 7% in regard to health, and driven in regard to protection by 3%. Clearly, the insurance business in terms of commercial P&C was the strongest, and after XL's acquisition, today we have 25% of our revenues, which are in that segment, and for us, it's a major mainstay and a major driver of growth for the future. Such integration, the XL integration, is certainly a complex integration, and this is why we are spending a great deal of time on this. We're making many efforts because creating that number one on a global basis in P&C is very important for us. I must admit that I'm very confident today that such integration is going on quite well. Following the close of the transaction in September last year, we took a first decision, which was to align our reinsurance programs towards the AXA philosophy and towards the AXA risk appetite. And today, we have a reinsurance program which is fully realigned. We also put in place our commercial organization, because this combination between AXA XL is something which is very enriching for the two companies. Now we can do business that none of the two in isolation were able to do. And you can see this already in numerous countries, that there's a very strong cooperation in order to truly obtain a mutual growth which was not possible previously. Certainly in Europe, the challenge is to integrate these two organizations, namely Ixelles and AXA Corporate Solutions, and you might have seen that we presented a European organizational project with our industrial partners. And today, I can say that we're totally aligned with the ambitions and the goals that we communicated last year. And once again, I'm quite confident that such integration is running very smoothly. Ixelles and AXA Ixelles also give us a commercial momentum which we didn't have previously. I had shown you before that the growth in commercial insurance is very positive because we are covering many of the new needs. Remember the cyber issue, the climate-related matters, and others that create new needs. In 2018, with AXA Ixelles, we saw a rise in revenue of 10%, driven on the one hand by a real growth in new needs, but on the other hand, thanks to a momentum of higher prices, which were really driving the markets. If we look now at the renewal in 2019, I'm also quite confident because renewal rates turned out to be very positive. And AXA Ixelles also provides us a new direction in terms of quality of service. It was in 2018 that AXA Ixelles was awarded for the third time in a row the ranking of being the number one global insurer with the best service in terms of customer satisfaction with regard to the major risk, the famous J.D. Powers Award, and we are very proud of this, and certainly our ambition is to retain such a ranking. If we look now at all these moves, we can see today an AXA group which is far less exposed to financial risks compared to 10 years ago. 10 years ago, 80% of our operations were in the life and savings arena. And today, and certainly following the total disposal of our U.S. operations in life and savings, we find ourselves with 80% of our businesses which are related to technical risks. Technical risk in terms of preferred segments such as health, protection, and the risk for private people and corporates. It makes us far more solid because these technical risks are decorrelated, disconnected from the financial markets. It is quite difficult to cover oneself and be diversified in a world of capital markets which is are very much intertwined. This is why focusing, on technical risks means increasing our diversification. It also means being decorrelated from the financial markets. Clearly, we see volatilities in financial markets and at the same time in regard to technical risk. Remember the NatCats. Now, if you look at the effect on our balance sheet, we can clearly state that technical risks and the volatility of them are far less serious for our balance sheet than the financial risks which are interconnected. In addition, there's certainly a large market for alternative capitals where we can hedge ourselves against such technical risks if we don't want to retain them. If you now look at the share price over 1 year, there are certainly moves in that share price. We see basically three different stages. The first stage, which was the stage following the announcement of the Ixelles acquisition. And there we could see that the AXA share underperformed the CAC 40 index because the surprise effect and the uncertainty about the integration and on the transactions that I mentioned before, and the listing of AXA Equitable and the transformation of our life portfolio in Switzerland, etc., were not clear as yet at the time. And in September, following the close of AXA XL, we saw a change occurring. And in the third stage, which is far more the beginning of this year, we see the AXA share is stronger, is outperforming the CAC 40, which over a year puts us in a position where we slightly outperform the CAC 40 index. Being an insurance company entails being in the middle of society at large and helping society in order to have a better life. Right from the beginning of AXA, with Claude Bébéard, it was already a major trump card for us. And you noticed in 2018, we made further progress on this. We took decisions in three areas. The first area was clearly fighting against climate change. You saw the fact that we were moving out of the coal business, and the second major topic was about health, including starting innovative services such as telemedicine, I mentioned before, the partnership, etc. And the third one was clearly our actions in order to improve the economic inclusion and social cohesiveness. Each year, we can gauge also our performance. We take indices which are recognized worldwide, the Dow Jones Sustainability Index, and I'm quite proud to share with you that for the third year consecutively, we are among the top 5%. I will not say more because Céline Soubranne, who is taking care of our responsible company business, will speak to you later on and give you far more details. And a second topic, which we promoted in 2018, was our brand. AXA was in 2018, for the 10th time, the number one brand worldwide in regard to insurance. We still said, look, we need to make further progress, and we want to invest. You saw at the very beginning of this general meeting the new film, the new campaign that will be launched in France shortly. Such a campaign is based on the concept having confidence in oneself. Know you can. Clearly, it's a message towards our clients because there's a lot of uncertainty in life. However, if you believe in yourself, you can make it. And this is clearly also a message to AXA's employees that it is possible to transform, that it's possible also to succeed in a market which is not easy. A second investment in regard to the brand is our partnership with the Liverpool Football Club. And there you see that the Liverpool Football Club and AXA are very much aligned in their life vision, and certainly for the brand awareness of our in Asia. This partnership is very important because there are millions of fans in Asia who are following Liverpool. 2018 was the year where we implemented strategic choices. We will continue in 2019 in a similar vein. Implementing the major decisions is at the very heart of things and very much at the heart. The integration of AXA XL is at the center of things. Today, we are on the right path of our 2020 ambition, and I'm very much confident that we will succeed. and that we will reach the targets that we set in 2016, that it means that we're continuing to far more develop and roll out innovative services. For us, it's a strategic matter, which is absolutely fundamental, and I'm very happy, and it's my pleasure now to turn it over to Guillaume Borie, who is in charge of innovation. He's the AXA Next Chief Executive, and who will show you what we are doing in regard to innovation and what does it involve in terms of benefits for our clients. I thank you, dear shareholders, for your trust and for your attention. Thank you.
Good afternoon to you all, and I'm very pleased to be with you this afternoon to share with you about the group's efforts for innovation, what does innovation mean for AXA, and how these efforts will be accelerated thanks to the strategic priorities of AXA Next, which is the entity that we established at the beginning of this year, 2019, in order to strengthen our efforts for creating new services and developing new business models to be able to support our customers. At the outset, AXA Next was built on the strategic conviction of the group that we have to transform the AXA model from a claims payer to being a partner for our customers, and to remain relevant in supporting our customers in their protection needs, we need to develop new services and establish a much more frequent interaction with our customers. This will make it possible for us to support you, to be more effective, much closer to your needs in providing complementary insurance services. The commitment to protection is the commitment taken by the AXA Group, and this is seen in insurance, but will be extended also through our efforts for deploying new services. At the heart of the objective of AXA Next is the intention and the determination to make our customers' lives simpler. The best way to talk about that is to talk about the four main priorities that we have set in order to extend AXA's role and diversify its business models in order to provide the best possible services to our customers. We have these four ecosystems that will help us to make it possible to offer new services and new activities to our customers, with the potential of providing daily support in all their protection needs. The first of these ecosystems is health. All the health needs in the world in 2020 will represent 8,000 billion euros of revenues around the world, and this is an area where the insurance business is only handling 15% of the needs. If we want to provide better support to our customers, the major challenge for us is to be much more complete in our value proposition, and at the same time meet very specific needs. I would like to dwell a few minutes on this health sector. Just take one fact, that all countries in the world are experiencing, be they developed and emerging markets, and that is the prevalence of chronic diseases. Today, 45% of the global population is, at one moment or another in their lifespan, going to experience chronic disease. We are about 1,000 people in this room this afternoon. That means 450 out of us here will, at one moment or another during their lifetime, experience chronic disease. And apart from being properly covered from an insurance perspective, The question is also, how do you access the right doctors at the right moment and get the right and best treatment and the proper follow-up? And how can you progress in taking care of that chronic disease? And for a person who's suffering a chronic disease, for example, someone from diabetes, there is almost a daily follow-up that is required. And we can provide these support services through telemedicine, through the care coordination pathways, and also providing the very best establishments for caring for these patients suffering from chronic disease. And this means that we want to go beyond the mere provision of insurance cover. And the same diversification effort will also be undertaken in the ecosystem of platforms, all the digital platforms. Thomas Buberl was referring to this a moment ago. In these digital platforms, we interact on a daily basis, buying and selling services. And this also requires protection, protecting your digital identity, protecting the projects that we've bought, protecting also repatriation when we've bought a trip abroad. And the challenge is to position these at the right moment, in the right place, and on demand. And these digital platform ecosystem is very wide. 3,500 billion euros expected in terms of turnover in 2020, and we can expand also our role there. And the same effort is going to be deployed in the ecosystem of mobility. How do we provide better support for mobility? The coming onto the scene of vehicles that can handle automatic driving procedures, the appearance of new modes of travel and of exchanging and car sharing and other things. And then also in terms of our support for businesses, for commercial companies, how can we provide the best service to SMEs? And how can we provide where just the mere provision of insurance, which is necessary, is not sufficient? As an example, is cyber attack risks. Today, for an SME, the first challenge is to know if there are any weaknesses in its IT systems, and if there is an attack, how can the system be rebooted, and how can we develop these services with new solutions? And to develop all these new services and accelerate the diversification of AXA's business models, we have brought together in AXA Next a number of units that since 2015 have been dedicating the efforts to investing in startups, in providing new business incubators and creating strategic partnerships for the benefit of all the group's customers. Since 2015, AXA Group has dedicated over 1 billion euros of investment in order to put on the market these new services and new propositions. And each of these entities has played a role in the development of these new proposals, such as our Kamet startup incubator, and also AXA Venture Partners, and our global entity for the industrialization of service propositions, AXA Partners. And this ecosystem is now really going full out for the objective to make available to the largest number possible of our customers these new services in all the markets where we are present. And this is at the heart of our priorities for the coming years, to industrialize these innovations so that we can better serve our existing customers, but also reach far more end customers of these services. And in the last 3 minutes of my presentation, I would just like to say a couple of very practical words concerning our two main priorities, which are health and platforms. In healthcare, Thomas Buberl has said that we have an objective, which is to develop telemedicine. And for those of you who live in France, and which is probably the majority of those present in this room today, you can already today, if it hasn't been already the case for you, is to use CARE, our telemedicine service, which gives you direct access through video conference to a consultation with a number of medical specialties, from general practitioner needs right to dermatology, and nutritionists and addict support and other specialties. Today, after just a few months having started up, we have over 130 consultations each day, and our objective is to make available to all AXA France's customers this service in connection with the teams of Jacques Perretti's AXA France teams. It is a service where customer satisfaction is very close to 100%. More specifically, 98.5% of users say that they are extremely satisfied. And there we see clearly how, thanks to these services, we can create value and customer satisfaction with a much closer connection, more intimate, I would even say, connection in the daily life of our customers. Another example of these health services is My Visite Santé, which is an advisory platform for well-being, in order to provide better support for our customers in their efforts for nutrition and handling addiction and well-being at work. As for the platforms, the major part of our efforts is put on the provision of insurance on demand. And in this context, we are, in connection with the major digital players, find services that meet the specific needs of the user. If you take the case of BlaBlaCar, it's one of these startups which today is worth over 1 billion euros on the market, which is a French startup and is a car sharing system. And its needs are very different to those of classic insurance business. And so with BlaBlaCar, we've developed a new assistance system that covers the driver, their liability for passengers whom they very often don't even know, and the passengers, and also makes it possible in terms of assistance in case of a breakdown to make sure that we can pick up the passengers where the breakdown has happened, and each one is then taken to their initial starting point, whereas in car sharing everyone is going to a different destination. And this solution in 2018 provided 10 million journeys in France, and it's over 1 million users who have benefited on a daily basis from AXA's services for these new mobility modes. So you see that all our efforts are going towards more intensive use of services, and insurance cover is something that we always, by definition, hope never to have to need, because it implies that something unpleasant has happened in your life. Well, by transforming our role to that of a partner, we want to be present with you on a daily basis, on the good days and the bad days. And this is how we believe we can accelerate AXA services and make available our protection services for the largest number of people. Thank you for your attention. Thank you, Guillaume Bory, and I'll hand over now to Céline Soubran, in charge of AXA's corporate social responsibility, who will give us a presentation on how AXA is working as a responsible leader. Good afternoon to you all. You must be asking yourself, what does the actual title of this presentation mean? Working as a responsible leader. For a company such as AXA today, working as a responsible company means taking into account the most demanding expectations of our customers, but also answering the concerns of society in general, be those social or environmental concerns. It means otherwise acting as a citizen company. And our first role as such a company is intrinsically related to our insurance business, which is to protect and preserve our common heritage. And that's why for many years now AXA is partner and sponsor providing services globally for art centres such as the Louvre Museum or the Pompidou Centres, and we will also be establishing a partnership with the Orsay Museum of Impressionist Art and also the Chateau in Versailles. And of course, more recently, we were all very moved by the fire that has hit Notre Dame Cathedral, and here we have also already mobilized 10 million euros to contribute to the rebuilding. Thank you. Thank you for your applause. We are very pleased to be able to take part in this project. Now, this role of being a sponsor for our common heritage also includes all the strategic dimensions of our activities, and it's a key moment in terms of the impact for the purchasing intentions of our customers, and also in terms of investor choices. Thomas mentioned a moment ago the DJSI, the Dow Jones Sustainability Index ranking, which each year assesses our performance as a responsible company and covers all the aspects of our company, which goes from HR to sustainable management of our sites and also our investments and how we handle our supplies. Don't worry, I won't be going into detail of all those actions, but I would just like to focus on the three major commitments that we have taken and that Thomas was referring to a moment ago: climate change, health and protection, and social inequalities and inclusion. Now, for climate change, you know, we've been a pioneer in the finance sector by pulling out of coal industry since 2015, the COP21. We took this commitment even further when in 2017 we pulled out as an insurer from these businesses, and we extended that also to energy coming from bituminous sands. And we have applied all this policy to our new vision, AXA XL. We need to know that as an investor, these last 3 years have led us to pull out from 4.5 billion euros of investment in energy, and at the same time, we decided to develop and invest in the energy transition and developing our investments for green infrastructures in renewable energy, and a very ambitious objective that we've set for ourselves of 12 billion euros worth of investment by 2020. And so already next year. Now, today we have many players in the finance sector who have chosen to contribute this to fighting climate change. But we need to bear in mind that 15% today of the major bank insurance businesses are committed to this, and we hope to be increasingly numerous, because it is only thanks to the investment of all that we will truly contribute to reaching the objectives for limiting the global warming by to 2 degrees, as established by the Paris agreements. A second aspect in terms of prevention and commitment to healthcare, and here too as a major player in global health insurance, we have taken one of the major issues today, which is tobacco. Tobacco is still today the number one cause of avoidable death around the world. 8 million people die every year. And whether it's in industrialized countries, even though the tendency to consume tobacco is tending to reduce, but it is hitting emerging countries even more. And here, AXA was the first to divest our business in terms of covering the insurance of the tobacco industry. And this was efficiently acknowledged at the General Assembly of the United Nations last year in launching using a very bold and daring approach taken at the General Assembly, together with the World Health Organization, putting out a call that all investors should free up their financial investment from any investments in tobacco. And today, 550 companies have signed this collective movement. And the last major commitment that we've taken to be responsible is fighting inequalities and our action in favor of social inclusion. We need to know that even though the general standard of living is on a general rule increasing around the world, at the same time, inequalities have increased over the last 30 years between the richest and the poorest sections of population. And this widening of the equality gap concerns all regions, be it the Americas, Africa, Asia, Latin America, even Europe. And even though it is compensated somewhat by our national social security systems. But here, as a responsible company, we want to be involved in two levels. First of all, providing direct support to the most disadvantaged, but also making insurance more accessible. And in this case, that last December, we joined the collective group of 19 major French companies, such as Danone, Adecco, and working for great economic inclusion. And AXA France in particular has decided to offer 1,000 single parent families in provision for covering the education of their children. And we also have a program in Italy and in France too, for providing support to women who are the victims of violence, and we're providing legal and emotional counseling and support. Precariousness does create problems in terms of access to health care for the most vulnerable population, which makes their situation even more fragile. And that's why that AXA Morocco has established a wonderful initiative of the healthcare caravan, providing healthcare systems in the rural areas of the country. And since the beginning, 6,000 free consultations have been provided. In India, we're establishing a public-private partnership with local states to provide the minimum healthcare protection for the population living below the poverty threshold. And we're also working on various ranges of products to make them more inclusive to vulnerable population groups, working on guarantee levels and marginal costs. This is the case, as you can see here. We have a micro-insurance system for micro-entrepreneurs in France, in New Mexico, micro-insurance for the communities that are exposed to natural disasters. And generally speaking, last year at this same general meeting, you had the presentation of my colleague Arantxa Sederetxea, who talked about the inclusive systems that we're developing in microinsurance in the emerging countries. And this makes it possible to touch some 10 million customers. Now, these major commitments of climate change and healthcare and protection and social inequality are also carried by our staff, with some 30,000 volunteers in their business, but also because they give of their time and their skills in our voluntary program, Hearts in Action. And this makes it possible to provide tremendous support. in 2018. It's over 30,000 voluntary employees who volunteered for this service. It's really a key element of our company that we're very proud of. And I've been very proud and happy to share this with you this afternoon. Thank you. Well, thank you to Céline Soubran for this great presentation. I'll ask Gérald Dutt now to introduce the performance of the company in 2018. But before that, we'll look at a video covering the highlights of the past year.
Ladies and gentlemen, good afternoon. It's my pleasure to present you the results and the financial solidity of our group and your group. Starting with growth in 2018, growth was dynamic and profitable and driven by our three target segment. And you can see that we have a sharp growth in commercial P&C plus 5%, protection plus 3%, health reaching plus 7%. Such growth did not come at the cost of our profitability. On the contrary, the combined ratios in protection and in health are improving. The same with PC, excluding AXA XL. So good growth related to our three business lines, which are our priorities. Let's take a look now at the underlying earnings. In 2018, we had a very good growth of our underlying earnings across the group, starting with France. See that the underlying earnings increased by 10% in Europe, plus 10% in Asia, up 5% in the US, plus 4% international and transverse lines, plus 24%. AXA XL shows a loss of 0.2% billion euros due to nat cats. So let's get an update on AXA XL's results. We consolidate XL and have been doing so only since October 1st, 2018. The 2018 result for AXA XL is made up of their results of the last quarter for XL and their annual results for AXA Corporate Solutions and AXA Art. Let's take a look now at the graph which is in the middle of the slide. And that graph explains why we are showing a loss of 0.2 billion euros for AXA XL. From the left to the right, normally in the fourth quarter, the contribution of XL to the results based on a level of normalized nat cat should have been 0.2 billion euros. In the fourth quarter 2018, we suffered the Michael hurricane and the Californian fires, which represent 0.5 billion euros. All in all, in the fourth quarter, the XL reported result is minus 0.4 billion euros. Add to this the contribution over the year in 2018 of AXA Corporate Solutions and of AXA Arc. That's 0.1 billion. All in all, that represents a loss of 0.2 billion for AXA XL. Nevertheless, as you can see, we benefited from a very strong growth of our operations, plus 10%, and the market conditions improved. They improved in 2018 with higher rates or prices on average by 4%, and the renewal in January in 2019 are good with plus 4% price hikes. So take away that AXA XL was hit by an unusual level of natural disasters in 2018. However, we do confirm our goal for underlying earnings for AXA XL for 2020, and that goal is an underlying earnings of 1.4 billion euros with a normalized level of natural disasters at 4% of gross premiums. Therefore, we are confident about that goal, thanks mainly to the synergies that we foresee. Let's now take a look at the performance of France. Underlying earnings, as I said before, well, we have a solid result, and the key targets were achieved as far as we're concerned. Underlying earnings sharply up, plus 10%, as I said before. That very high operating result comes through a dynamic growth in our in health, in protection. So plus 12% health, plus 5% protection, plus 3% rise in corporate commercial P&C. And our combined ratios were better. We make more technical profits, and as you see, all the combined ratios are down. Likewise, the UC rate at 39%, which is the unit-linked one, we can show that unit-linked rate remains about 10 points higher to the one of the French market. Therefore, the level of unit-linked accounts remains at a very high level and outperforms the markets. Therefore, it was a good year, or even a very good year, for AXA France. The group result for 2018 now. The underlying earnings, it is at an all-time high with 6,182 million euros. We're up by 6%. Now, the adjusted earnings are up by 3%. The difference with the growth of the underlying earnings is due to lower financial markets at the end of 2018. Now, the net result is at 2,140,000. And that difference between the adjusted result and the net result is due to two elements mainly. First of all, depreciation of AXA Equitable of, and secondly, as you mentioned, as mentioned before, it's the impact of exceptionals, and mainly we stopped our business in of savings and life in Switzerland. These two elements that I mentioned are exceptional, and they're non-recurring by definition, and they're related to the transformation of a company which moves from a mainly life-based company to one that will be based mainly on P&C. Let's now take a look at the balance sheet. The two main indicators are the equity and the solvency ratio. Now, the equity are at 62.4 billion. The decrease compared to last year can be accounted for lower shares and realized capital gains at the end of 2018 when we saw lower financial markets. It's also an uptick of interest rates and expenses and the rates actually of the bonds. So a good part of that downdrop was we caught this up thanks to the excellent performance of the markets since the turn of the year. The solvency rate at 193% is at a very good level. And the financial ratings here, you see that we're equivalent AA- stable with the three major agencies. Very solid. We are proud of having found again the ratings before the acquisition of XL. And this confirms, as a matter of fact, the confidence of the ratings agencies in terms of our transformation. What about now? Where do we stand with regard to our 2020 ambition plan? As you can see here on this slide, we are on the right path to reach the goals that are in the Ambition 2020 program. First of all, with the per share underlying earnings up by 3%, and on average, that is between 2015 and 2018, it saw an increase of more than 5% per year, which is quite in line with our 3%-7% goal over the plan between 2015 and 2020. Now let's take a look at the free operating cash flow, which was at 6.6 billion, so a high level in 2018, so that we ought to be rather in the upper range of 28 to 32 billion, which is forecasted between 2015 and 2020 in aggregate terms. Now the current ROE is at 14.4%, and in November last year, remember, during our Investors' Day, we ramped up that profitability return on the ROE. We moved it was around 12%. We moved it up between 14% to 16%, which is a good sign. The solvency ratio is at 193, in line, quite in line with our target between 170 and 220%. And there again, it was reconsidered in November, and that was the range was then between 170 and 230%. So these very good results, these very good indicators, translate into a higher dividend. We are suggesting a dividend up by 6% at 1.34 euros. On the right-hand side, you can see the payout rate is at 52%. And remember, before, the payout rate was between 45 and 55% of the adjusted earnings. We have moved up that range. It's now between 50 and 60%. So with a dividend at 1.34 euros, we can say that our share gives one of the most attractive returns in the market. Now, to conclude, for AXA, 2018 can be summed up with four major highlights. First of all, the speeding up of our growth, it was driven by our target segment. Secondly, the underlying earnings is at an all-time high. We are on the right path in order to fulfill the goals of our 2020 ambition plan, and finally, a new rise in the dividend. Thank you for your attention. I thank Gérard Darlin, and I suggest that you now watch a film presenting the group's shareholder relations system. Thank you, dear shareholders, for your loyalty to AXA. Before I give the floor to Jean-Marc Stanfold, who will present the governance of the company and the remuneration policy of its leaders, I would like to indicate that Jean-Marc Stanfold, director for our company for 12 years, had decided not to request a renewal of his term of office. He will leave the board at the close of this meeting. I would like, on behalf of the AXA board, to thank him very warmly for his contribution to the work of the supervisory board and then of the board of directors for the past 12 years. His experience, his strategic vision, and his contribution as a chairman of the Remuneration Governance Committee and as a senior independent director in the past 2 years have been decisive for the progress of our governance and for AXA's progress. I now give him the floor. Ladies and gentlemen, dear shareholders, as a senior independent director, I would like to share with you how the AXA governance operated in 2018 and the remuneration policy of its leaders. First of all, governance. You can see displayed on the screen the current makeup of the board of directors of your company. The board includes 16 members, 8 women, 8 men, and 8 nationalities. The percentage of women at the board is today at 50% and will, subject to the approval of the resolution proposed, to 53% following this meeting. In addition, always subject to your approval, at the end of this meeting, the board will be made up of nearly 50% of members who are of foreign origin. Such diversity, combined with a variety of different roles and work, promotes the depth and quality of our discussions at the board. Among the criteria defined during the selection process of the members of the board, you can see the looking for an appropriate balance between technical skills and professional experience, as well as diversity in terms of age, nationality, and culture. Lastly, every year the board tries to assess the situation of independence of each one of its members in light of the AFEP-MEDEF code recommendations. Early 2019, the board considered 10 of its members out of 16 as being independent. Now, on the screen, you can see a summary of the way the board operates. As you know, it behooves the board to take the most important decisions, mainly decide the split or not of the roles of the chairman of the board and of the chief executive, and appoint the general management. The board also benefits from the work of its 3 committees, which prepare such decisions through recommendations. Lastly, as a senior independent director, I make sure that independent directors can actually play the major role which is theirs. In practice, I'm involved in the preparation of each board meeting together with the chairman and the chief executive. We look together at the timetable of the meetings, the agendas, and the documents sent to the members of the board. Following our general meeting and subject to your approval for the renewal of the term of office, Jean-Pierre Clamadieu will be the senior independent director and chairman of the Remuneration and Governance Committee. Jean-Pierre Clamadieu has been a director of our company since 2012 and a member of the Governance and Remuneration Committee since 2015. The board decided to appoint him to succeed me given his experience, his knowledge of the group, and his strong commitment in the work of the board. Concerning now the board work, 2018 saw a sustained activity. We met 12 times with 97% on average attending. The 3 board committees, all in all, held 19 meetings in 2018, also with an average attendance rate at 97%. The main topics that the board had to handle in the past year are the following ones: the group strategy, of course, reviewing the acquisition project of XL and its integration into AXA, the listing of US life and asset management business, the major disposal and acquisitions that are important, looking at the annual and half-year accounts, a policy of this payout of dividends, and also the ORSA, the internal evaluation of risks and solvency, and also the various policies written as part of Solvency II, finally composition of the board and its committees. As is the case each year, the board of directors also assessed its own way of operating. In 2018, that exercise was led by an external consultant who collated the contribution of each director as well as the assessments and suggestions on the work and operation of the board. He took into account the opinion of each director on the participation and contribution of each one of the other members of the board. The chairman of the board communicated to each director during individual interviews the conclusions related to their personal contribution. In my case, I shared with the chairman the conclusions relative to his own contribution. The overall conclusions of that self-assessment and the main identified axis of progress were reviewed in detail by the Remuneration and Governance Committee, and the issued recommendation examined and approved by your board last December. During that opportunity, directors underlined that the quality of operation of the board had improved and had remained at a high level according to the opinions, thanks to the maturity of its processes as well as due to the effectiveness and smoothness of the relationship between the chairman and the chief executive. The main points of improvement identified during that examination were the following ones. First of all, the need to provide special attention to the selection of the future directors in order to offer the appointment of people who have predefined skills in the field of insurance, finance, the digital, the technologies, human resources, or again, marketing. We also underlined the need to cut down the number of directors sitting at the board, as well as the importance of maintaining the common role of a senior independent director and the chairman of the Remuneration and Governance Committee, these two roles being intimately intertwined. Finally, the directors indicated their wish to continue and develop the steady sending by the chief executive information notes related to the sector of the insurance and to public announcements made by the company. With regard to the vote that will take place later on, we will ask you to renew the mandate of Jean-Pierre Clamadieu. Take a look at his track record. He will, following this, he will be the senior independent director and the chairman of the Remuneration Governance Committee for the term of his office. During the vote, we will ask you also to ratify the cooptation of Hélène Sarsinski as a director. Her resume, you can see now on the screen. Co-opting also Hélène, the co-option of Hélène Sarsinski was decided by the board meeting on the 24th of May 2018, replacing Diana Oppenheimer, who wished to put an end to her role due to new responsibilities. Lastly, in pursuant to legal provisions, two directors representing our employees have joined our board in 2018. Martin Bieff, who is an inspector in charge of claims since 2018 and was appointed by the French group on the 13th of June 2018, and Bettina Kram, who works at AXA Concern AG, a German subsidiary, was appointed by the European Works Council on the 20th of June 2018. Subject to the approval of the resolutions that I have just presented, given the non-renewal of my term of office, the size of the board will be reduced from 16 down to 15 members at the close of this meeting. Following the presentation of the operation of AXA's governance 2018, we'd like to report now about the remuneration policy of its top managers. In line with the legal provisions, you are to decide on the elements of the remuneration allocated in 2018 to each corporate executive director, as well as the remuneration policy applicable to for 2019. Four resolutions will be submitted to your vote, two regarding the ex post of the chairman of the board and the chief executive and two resolutions regarding their ex-ante remuneration for 2019. In this context, you will find summarized on the screen the various components of the remuneration of the top leaders at AXA. The cash remuneration in short term is made up of the fixed salary and part of the annual variable remuneration. Come after that, so-called deferred remuneration elements made up of the other part of the annual variable remuneration, as well as their options and performance shares. This remuneration structure aims at promoting the convergence of the interests of management with those of the company and the shareholders over the medium and long term. In the preparation of these proposals made to the board regarding the remuneration of the chief executive, the Remuneration and Governance Committee assesses all the elements of that remuneration. It reviews also, of course, the benchmark market remuneration practice made up of comparable companies to AXA on a European and global basis, with the aim of proposing a consistent structure and levels that are competitive, encourage performance, and align the level of the remuneration really obtained with the results of the company. The Remuneration Committee reviews on a regular basis the overall principles of the policy of the remuneration. It makes sure that there's internal fairness and taking in the right way account the individual performance and the collective performance. So the board, on proposal of its remuneration committee, has decided to set the annual target remuneration of the chief executive at €2,900,000. This will come, will made up of a fixed remuneration and a variable one. The fixed one is €1,450,000 per year, and the other one, which is due to demanding performance elements, is also €1,450,000. Now, the determination of the full remuneration of the chief executive is based mainly on a study carried out by an external board relative to remuneration policy for similar roles in a sampling of international companies in the financial sector. In addition, in order to involve the chief executive in the creation of value over the long term, each year the board grants it long-term incentives in the form of options and performance shares. These LTIs are fully subject to demanding performance conditions, internal and external, and do not guarantee a minimum gain. These LTIs are a major share of the remuneration of chief executive. So the value of the LTIs which is allocated is determined in order to position the overall remuneration in securities and cash between the median and the third quartile of the market benchmark. Besides, the chief executive does not benefit from any top-off so-called retirement regime. It is benefiting from the same elements that benefit management executives of AXA France. And also, all of this is based on performance obtained each year. Finally, the chief executive has compensation if his role is terminated, subject to performance conditions. First of all, it is set at 12 months. It's equated with 12 months and can be increased by one additional month. It can never exceed 24 months. And by the target remuneration in cash of the chief executive has been unchanged since he was appointed in 2016 and will remain the same in 2019. The board of directors also determines the remuneration of the chairman of the board. In line with the recommendation of the AFEP-MEDEF code, the board felt that the structure of remuneration which is best consists in paying to the chair of the board only a fixed remuneration. In order to determine the amount of that remuneration, the board took into account the extensive missions they decided to allocate to Denis Duverne as president and talked to an external consultant. In addition, the board took into consideration the fact that Denis Duverne, who decided to retire, made sure that he would decided to give up an additional annuity, which represents on an annual basis about €750,000. He decided to benefit from it only at the end of his term as a board. And the board of directors has decided to set the amount of this annual remuneration at €1,200,000. This has remained unchanged since his appointment in 2016 and will remain identical in 2019. Let's now look at the variable remuneration attributed in 2018 to the chief executive. The assessment of the annual performance of the chief executive is based on two components: the performance of a group on the one hand, and its individual performance. The group's performance is assessed based on the changes with three criteria: the per share underlying earnings, the current profitability of equity, the revenues in priority strategies, P&C for corporations, and protection and health, and then the Net Promoter Score. The indicators are directly linked to the group's strategic orientations based on reaching a target score, which is previously set. Early 2018, the board had decided to assess the performance of the board for the current period by neutralizing the impact of two operations. On the one hand, operations in capital achieved in 2018, including the listing of the AXA Equitable Holdings in the U.S. and the acquisition of the AXA Group, and finally, the buyback of shares in excess of the volumes required to make sure we have no dilutive effect coming from the attribution of performance shares to employees of the group. However, given the very high score of the group's performance neutralized from the elements mentioned before, that is 137% performance, the board, upon proposal of its Remuneration Governance Committee, finally decided to take also into account the performance of the group, including the two pre-mentioned operations. That is the listing of AXA Equitable Holdings and the acquisition of the AXA Group, leading to a score of 89%, and to retain the average of the group's performance scores with and without neutralization. So the performance of the group set at 113%. With regard to the individual performance, it is assessed based on specific goals reviewed each year. Different indicators and goals in terms of quality and quantity are fixed by the board in a letter established before the period where we measure the performance. The board assessed the individual performance of Thomas Buberl based on five major goals set in that letter: the listing of the AXA Equitable Holdings in the U.S. and redeploying the equity, about 20%, continuing the 2020 ambition plan goals and the group's growth strategy at 35%, the speeding up of the innovation strategy representing 20%, reinforcing the group's talent pools, and also the personal development for top executives at 15%, finally reinforcing internal control in terms of IT security represent 10%. Individual performance of the chief executive of 2018 is assessed by the board at 105%. So the actual variable remuneration in 2018 paid to the chief executive, subject to your approval, will amount to €1,725,500, or 119% of his target variable remuneration. The board decided to renew for the chief executive a deferred payment mechanism of a part equal to 30% of the variable remuneration over a period of 2 years. The amount actually paid, you know, could depend, change depending on the stock market, and with a limit of a floor of at 80% and of a cap at 120%, the introduction of this deferred part within the variable remuneration, even though not required by the applicable French regulation, is designed to reinforce the alignment of AXA with the regulatory and regulations practices that are on the international level. AXA is also allocating options and performance shares to its employees in France and internationally. These allocations, without any discount, take place each year at the same period. The total amount of options allocated to the members of the management committee are submitted to performance conditions and can be only vested only if the performance of the actual group exceeds the ones of the stock market, which acts as a benchmark. The board also decided that as from the allocation of options done in 2017, the vesting of options will be stopped if we have a negative net income for the group, as long as that result remains that way.
Concerning performance, all those benefiting from this in the hierarchy receive performance shares for 100% of the value. And these bear on the group performance, 40%, This is the net earnings per share, and also the performance of the entity to which the beneficiary belongs for 50%. And lastly, 10% for the group performance in terms of corporate social responsibility. And this last criterion is based on the CSR reference index, which is the Dow Jones Sustainable Index, which accounts for 10% of the overall performance. And lastly, in line with the best practices in the industry and with the recommendations of the regulators, the performance shares are sorted with an acquisition period of minimum duration of 3 years, as for the members of the management committee, and these will be mandatorily conserved for 2 years. And stock options are also exercised by one-third from the third, fourth, and fifth anniversaries of the date of attribution. And the objective here is to search for the measurement of the performance conditioning the final acquisition of the shares for a period equal to 3 years. And all these compensation elements for the AXA managements are reviewed in the reference document for 2018 for AXA, and you are free to consult them if you wish to have more information. On slide now you have the count of the attribution of a stock option performance shares between 2011 and 2018. Since the beginning of 2012, the decision was taken to limit the attribution of options to only these senior executives of the group, and this explains the reduction in the number of beneficiaries. Beginning in 2019, only the members of the management committee will see stock options. As you'll see, in 2018, over 7,300 employees of the group received performance shares. Next June, the board will proceed to a new allocation of options and performance shares. I'll add that since 2016, all the executive managements of AXA Group France, some 500 people, benefit from performance shares dedicated to their pension. These are fully submitted to performance conditions and fulfilled during the year. And next December, the board of directors will proceed with a new allocation of performance shares for pension purposes. And I emphasize here that these allocations represented 0.24% of the company's equity and without any dilutive effect for the shareholders. Lastly, a few words about group policy in terms of employee shareholding. And AXA has undertaken a very voluntary action in terms of employee shareholding, and each year the group offers to its employees in France and internationally an employee shareholding plan called Share Plan, with a form of capital increase which is reserved for them. In 2018, over 24,000 employees in 36 countries took part in this operation for total underwriting of some 330 million euros, corresponding to the issuance of some 15 million new shares. And in order to eliminate the dilutive effect of the share plan offering, the decision has been taken, as in previous years, to redeem and then cancel equivalent number of shares. And on 31st of December 2018, group employees and officers held 5.2% of the capital and 6.4% of the voting rights of the company. Ladies and gentlemen, this concludes my presentation, but before I leave this platform, I would like to say that it has been for me an honor to be, for the past 12 years, a member of the board of the company and support AXA in its transformation. And dear shareholders, to whom I owe my presence here, to thank you, and to all my colleagues of the board and the executives of the company, to whom I wish all the very best for the future. Thank you to Jean-Martin Fotz for this presentation and his encouragement. The report on corporate governance, in line with Article L225 of the French Commercial Code, are based in page 480 of the annual report. And I'll ask now the representatives of PricewaterhouseCoopers and Mazars to come and present their statutory auditor reports. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, dear shareholders. We have nine reports to present to you, and we will be giving an abridged presentation, and you will find the full report in the annual accounts on the consolidated accounts and the regulated agreements, for which I will hand over to Xavier Crépeau for operations relating to group capital. Concerning our relations on annual accounts and consolidated accounts, we'd like to remind you the objective of our mission is to obtain confidence of the truthfulness of the accounts and that there are no significant anomalies. And here we rely on the work of our firms in operating in the various entities that are companies, members of the group. Concerning the parent company, AXA, we had a certification without any reservations presented to your board. As key points of the audit, we developed our associations with a justification in terms of the participatory shares and in particular those of the AXA equity holding in the U.S. Concerning the specific provisions provided for by law and the information given to you this year, we have no particular comments to make. Concerning the report, our report on the consolidated accounts, we've also led to a certification of the group accounts without any reservations and pointing out the following key points with the assessment of the mathematical provisions in life insurance and also for claims in PNC and the assessment of acquisition in particular for life insurance units. And this year, with the acquisition of the XL Group, the acquisition of the acquisition in the assets and liabilities of the group. And we have no reservations as to the sincerity of the information provided. I'll hand over now to the report on the regulated agreements. And the purpose here is to inform you about the agreements about which we've been informed. And we have no mandate to give an opinion on the usefulness of such agreements. There are two agreements that are continuing this year, which were approved in previous years. The first concerns Mr. Thomas Buberl, following the renouncement of his work contract. Social protection was given to him in equivalent to those of AXA employees and also an allocation of reaching the performance. And the second agreement concerns Mr. Denis Duverne, and this also follows on the ceasing of his work contract and the provision of a social protection plan. All this is detailed in our report, which appears in the reference document on pages 470, 370 and 160. Thank you for your attention, and I will hand over now to Xavier Crépeau. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I have four reports to present. It is my pleasure to present the report on four requests for authorization and delegation to put you today for enabling your board to undertake operations regarding issuance of shares. Our first report concerns the issue of shares and or securities with or without preferential subscription rights of the shareholders. And on screen you have all the terms that are specific for this operation, with authorization for 26 months, and a ceiling also covered here on the slide for 2 billion euros for increase with maintaining a preferential rate of 550 million when there are no longer any preferential rights, and also for any issuance of outstandings. And have no comments to make about the renunciation of preferential rights, but we will comment on this later when the board decides to implement this decision. The second operation is similar, and our report bears on the issue of ordinary shares and securities giving a claim to a share capital of the company, but reserved for employees enrolled in the employer-sponsored company savings plan. And here on screen, you have all the practical terms with the amount, maximum amount of 135 million and a period of delegation for 18 months. And here again, there will be a future report in case this is executed. The third operation concerns an authorization given to the board to allocate free shares for the benefit of employees and also executive officers and also employees in the context of pension plans. Here too, all the terms are covered on the screen, and I will make no further comment. For this operation, we have no comments to make. Concerning the last operation, giving the reduction of the capital, reduction of the share capital, here too, you'll have on screen the delegation of powers given to the board for a period of 18 months, and which is limited to 10% of the share capital for a 24-month period. And here, too, we have no matters to report on the reasons and terms and conditions of the proposed capital reduction. Thank you for your attention. Thank you to the officers of the statutory auditors, in particular Mr. Crippon, for whom it will be the last report presented.